You're listening to a Crossroads original podcast.
Welcome to the 100 Humley Street podcast. I'm your host today, Laura Watson, and I am so glad you are joining me right now. I hope this time together brings you encouragement, refreshment, and a new outlook on your day and your life. You know, when I was in Bible college, going back to when I was about 19, 20 years old, I stumbled on an author called Philip Yancey. Of course, I'm saying I stumbled on him, but he was so well known, and even at the time, such an inspiring author, writer, theologian, really, an apologist. And he wrote many books. You know, it's incredible that he's written books that have been translated into 40 languages. He is a best-selling author. At this stage in his life, he's written many, many books. But when I was in Bible college, his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, had just come out. And this book really touched me deeply because, you know, of course, none of us go through life unscathed. And I had so many areas in my life where I really needed to experience the grace of God. And I needed to understand the difference that an active relationship with Jesus would make, the difference that pursuing a love relationship with God would make, pursuing God's grace in my life and accepting it for things that had happened to me or wrongdoings I had done. And at this stage, I was about a year and a half into my faith walk with Jesus. I had just become a believer at 17. And so I loved reading this book, and I was just amazed by this man who was such an incredible writer and actually a journalist. You know, part of his story is that he really didn't believe in a lot of the gospel kind of messages, and he grew up in a very different way. There's a whole story behind his upbringing, but kind of in a very unhealthy religious community. But as a journalist, he began to uncover who God is and discovered the God of the Bible and who Jesus is in fresh ways. And, you know, I think it was so important that this message of grace captured my heart, and this book by Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace, captured my heart. Because not only had I had things in my life occur that I needed to work through, there were going to be things that were to come. And I can remember there was this season in my life. I had given birth to my second son, Benjamin, and I had really felt in my heart that God was impressing on my heart that I was going to have health issues around that birth. And yet, you know, I gave birth to Benjamin and it was very straightforward, but 5 days later I started to have problems, and lo and behold, I had very significant complications that weren't even connected to having my little one, and I ended up needing emergency surgeries, and they were really life-altering, body-altering, and it was a chronic condition I didn't realize I had. And I can remember recovering in the hospital, and it was all digestive stuff, but I had lost 50 pounds in 2 weeks, and I felt the presence of God so profoundly. I felt His grace so profoundly in that hospital room. Even in this moment, I feel emotional sharing about it because I felt closer to God than I've probably ever felt in my entire life. And I was suffering physically, emotionally, mentally. You know, I had a newborn baby. My body was, you know, really on edge. I mean, we didn't know at certain points if I was going to get healthier or not. I was septic. There was all this stuff happening. And yet I felt the tangible presence of God to the point where I remember there was this one point I thought, I feel like Jesus is sitting in the chair next to me. I better not move too far away from Him. And I was lying in this hospital bed. But, you know, don't put my back to Him. It's not polite. And I do think God was there. I think Jesus was with me very tangibly. And that's because it was such a painful and challenging time. And of course, you know, I had a miracle upon miracle in that hospital. Doctors couldn't explain it. My recovery was incredible. Everything went so fast. It was at a point where, you know, doctors didn't want to bring their students in to see me because I was abnormal in the sense of how much I had bounced back and how much better I was doing. But there was always, you know, a road of recovery ahead of me and further surgeries into the future. So I knew that was a long path. However, I remember also leaving the hospital. And so I'm in the car with my husband. I'm going home to my newborn baby and my 3.5-year-old. And I'm so thrilled. So I'm going to see my Benny and my Jakey. And I'm with Jeff in the car. And I'm like, okay, that's over. You know, we've got some, there's going to have to, I've got to do some more medical stuff in the future, but that one's done. That situation's done. And I looked back at the window of the floor I was on. It was the 6th floor of the hospital. And I thought to myself, it's so sad, actually. I'm not sure I'll ever feel as close to God as I did in that hospital room. And I couldn't even handle the thought. Like, I had to capture the thought in my head. Like, did I just think that? That was the most difficult suffering of my life. Physically painful, emotionally painful, spiritually painful. And yet, the tangible presence of God was with me. His grace was so thick in that room that it changed my life forever. And to this day, you know, when we're working on the program for 100 Huntley Street, whether it's broadcast, digital, podcast, and we're involved in ministry, I'm always saying to people that, you know, where the Bible says that suffering can produce character, and that that is part of the journey as we become more like Jesus, I'm telling the truth, because my life completely changed. I can remember being a different person on the other side of that suffering, where I cared more about my personal relationships. I cared more about my relationship with God. I didn't care about a lot of things that would have been world, like kind of goals in my life that would have been pursuits. I didn't care anymore. I just wanted to honor God, love Him, and serve people and love them, coming out of that entire experience. And, you know, what I'm really touched about is that we are, you know, getting the opportunity to speak with Philip Yancey. And this is a big deal for me. He's written this book, and now it's called Undone. And it's a modern rendering of John Donne's devotions. And John Donne was, you're going to hear in our conversation, I'll be asking Philip all about this, but this was written 400 years ago. John Donne is a very old author and poet with a very colorful past. And he was a very interesting man, but came to be a man of strong faith in God. And there's that old saying, for whom the bell tolls, which one day Ernest Hemingway created a book called For Whom the Bell Tolls. Well, that's actually from a poem that John Donne wrote. And that reference reflects the church bells that would go off during seasons of when there were plagues, actually, in England. And so that reflects the lifetime of John Donne, because he actually ended up getting very ill in that season 400 years ago. And he thought he had the plague. He thought he was very sick and he was going to die. And he was chronicling his journey with God through these devotions. All the ups and downs, right? I'm upset with you, God. I'm let down. Oh, today I feel your closeness. I feel your healing. And we see through this journey that John Donne had, that God is close to the suffering and brokenhearted. And we know that He is, I know that He is, through my own experiences in life. And it's wonderful that Philip Yancey has taken that old book and he has recreated it. And he did that, so it's written in layman's terms now, so not this old English, but he's recreated it into these devotions and using John Donne's writing and the principles and the wording. He's trying, it's almost like your Cole's notes for a Shakespeare book. But if, you know, he did that. Philip did that because he wanted to help the world understand what they'd experienced going through the pandemic. But actually, during this rendering of John Donne's work, Philip was diagnosed with Parkinson's and all that that entails, the symptoms, the challenges, the fear. And his rendering of John Donne's work has become a balm for his own soul. And so that's part of what we're going to talk about in our conversation together. And, you know, how do we suffer through the challenges of life as followers of Jesus with resilience and hope and authenticity and honesty, but know that we can journey through them and come out the other side various ways. And there's so much encouragement in this conversation. And I know that it's going to speak to your heart if you're going through a season of challenge or pain or suffering. And I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you. And I know that it's going to be a blessing in your life. So just after this, I'm going to have a conversation with Philip Yancey, and we are going to encourage you on the path of whatever you might be going through. If you find yourself in a season of suffering and you need encouragement, then my next conversation is for you. Philip Yancey is a best-selling author who has more than 17 million books in print in over 50 languages and joins us now to talk about his life-changing new devotional, Undone, a modern rendering of John Donne's devotions. Welcome back to 100 Huntley Street, Philip.
Thank you, Laura. Great to be here with you.
It's our pleasure to have you. Philip, this new book, Undone, it's so powerful. And as I read through it, it's something that it's hard to actually break down into day-by-day readings, although it's a 30-day devotional, because the story is compelling. And it's based on a 400-year-old manuscript written by a scholar and poet named John Donne. But for our viewers who don't know who John Donne was, can you tell us a bit about his life?
Sure. He was a bit of a Job character, actually. He just... He was on the wrong side of politics, the wrong side of religion for much of his life. And he started out writing pretty randy poetry, actually. And then he finally kind of came together, went to seminary, became a pastor, and was appointed dean of the largest church in England, St. Paul's Cathedral. I'm sure many of your viewers have seen that. And this was plague time. Pandemic time, and it was much worse than what we've lived through with COVID-19. This was the Black Death. About a third of London died. A third of London fled into the countryside to find some fresh air, and only a third was left. They flocked to hear John Donne to bring comfort and some sort of meaning to what the city was going through. And in the middle of all that, here's a man who actually was the pastor of people in great need, and then he fell ill, and everybody assumed it was the bubonic plague, the Black Death. And so he's lying in bed. He's not even allowed to consult his Bible or great books, his library. And out of that, he wrote in a feverish state this book that became a classic. I know that many of your viewers, I'm sure in Canada, even here in the United States, we studied John Donne in high school. So phrases like "no man is an island" and "for whom the bell tolls," they all come from this great work of literature that has never been out of print for 400 years. But the problem is, it was written 400 years ago when there were some sentences that were 234 words long. We just don't write like that these days. And the science has changed a lot. State of the art back then, if you had the plague, they would apply pigeons to your mouth to try to draw away the evil vapors, you know, just kind of crazy stuff like that. So because we had just been through a pandemic and the coronavirus, I wanted to update and make more accessible the great wisdom that this giant of English literature came up with.
Well, that you have certainly done. And I know it was no easy feat, Philip. Of course, you were familiar with John Donne, as you said, from high school. And I know that you loved his writings. You know, you wrote in the book how you would often share them with friends of yours. But the writings are in Old English. I mean, this is 400 years old. Right just after the King James Bible has been released.
Next decade.
Right. So what were some of the challenges you found as you were reiterating John Donne's devotions upon emergent occasion into Undone?
Well, here's what I found. It was a surprise to me, Laura. We tend to think of science. Well, that's the hard bedrock stuff. That doesn't change. And then there are these other kind of squishy fields like psychology and sociology and all that kind of stuff. Theology, you know. You go to universities and they say, well, that's not really science. Well, here you go back to John Donne 400 years ago. He's going through a pandemic, much like we went through. And the science has changed so much. State-of-the-art stuff back then, I mentioned with the pigeons and the bleedings and the cuppings, things that they thought would heal you actually made you much worse. But the wrestling with God, one person alone wrestling with God, has not changed at all. When I started reading this and getting into it, I realized this is what we're going through with this COVID-19 virus. And John Donne, 400 years ago, posed all of those questions. Why me? Why at this time? What am I being punished? Because he did have kind of a guilt-producing past. What is God's message to us? People were coming up with new books about the coronavirus, and I went back to an old book and just tried to make it more accessible because it had stood the test of time.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting as I read it, the themes, right? These are universal human themes found in this book connected to finding meaning in suffering. Or as you said, why am I suffering? Why is this happening to me? You know, what amazes me is something that you point out in the book, that especially in modern society, we're in this time where we're treating the ability to be healthy and live, you know, as long as we can, almost like a religion. And so we're running from pain and suffering, and which we understand. But at the same time, sometimes we do just have to journey through it. Tell us a little bit more about that tension.
Well, to me, the tension goes like this. The plot of the Bible is that we live in a good world that has been spoiled. The theologians would use the word fallen world. So we live in a good world, but it's not the way it should be. It's not the way God had in mind. It is not the way it's going to be. God is going to redeem that world. So you've got the good parts of the world, but the bad parts of the world, and the promise of hope in putting them together. And I think if you take out any one of those, if you try to pretend the world is bad, if without that goodness, you miss the beauty, the fearfully and wonderfully made human body that God gave us. On the other hand, if you try to pretend that everything's great, everything is great, a virus comes along and it just pulls the rug out from under your feet. So here's this great theologian, the pastor, the largest church in England, who wrestles with these questions that we all have and does it in a way that brings meaning and comfort. How did it serve John Donne? Well, 400 years later, we still have his dialogue with God, as it were. And God did redeem the pain that he was going through, as difficult as it was for him at the time.
Yes, and you know, you mentioned wrestling with God. Something about John Donne's journey is that, you know, when we're reading his writings, and there, you know, you've got 26 of them within the 30 devotionals because you add the last four yourself. But we read his writings and we see his journey from onset of illness to diagnosis to treatment to symptoms, that entire journey that every patient who is suffering goes on. And within that, his fears and then those moments where he's calling out faith and hope within himself. It's such a challenging journey for those who are on a journey of suffering and struggling with illness. What do you think John Donne's honesty has to offer those who are in that season of their life?
Well, I've got an easy answer to that, because right when I was in the middle of this book, I got a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. I had some kind of mysterious symptoms, and I went to the doctors and finally found someone who identified what was going on. And here I am at home during the daytime working on John Donne, and he became my companion, someone who had been before me, someone who was anticipating and then reflecting back on the very things I was going through, that fear of people talking about you when you're not in the room, and the doctor is not really telling you the whole truth, and you're sitting in a lobby with people who have even worse movement disorders, and thinking, is that me? Am I going to be able to continue to write? Am I going to be able to continue to walk? Things like that. It eased things for me to realize John Donne, he struggled with each one of those fears. And at the end, he said, you know, I've got two choices. I could either fear every one of these little things, or I could fear God in kind of the awe Old Testament way of fearing God. I'm just going to fear God. And if I fear God, I don't have to fear any of these other things. And insights like that that would never have occurred to me were hallmarks for me. They're like a cane I could hold on to as I'm walking down a new path.
Well, yes, and Philip, you know, our team did catch wind of your diagnosis, and we've been praying for you, and we know it's something that is a big challenge in this season, and we'll continue to pray. You know, it's never easy in these kinds of journeys, but we know that we do encounter God in new ways sometimes when we're suffering, and I find that that's the case in my own life. In this season where you are having these challenges, how are you encountering God in new ways?
When things are going well, you kind of want to be independent and you want to just take care of yourself and not rely on other people. When you do have some sort of affliction like Parkinson's or cancer, those kind of things, you can't be that independent person. You have to rely on other people. And that's actually good training for us. Let's start by relying on God. Let's go every day and say, I can't handle this very well on my own. I need help just to get through this day, kind of the one day at a time rule. And it's not easy for me to be a dependent person. Fortunately, I have a very strong wife who says, you know, I've got the big shoulders. Let me help. Be vulnerable, be honest. And the lovely thing about John Donne's book is that he's so excruciatingly honest. Nothing that I've experienced yet is not already reflected in this book, this 400-year-old book.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, you spoke about determining that you have this need to depend on others now. And that's a whole revelation of yourself. And it's a revelation of how God created us. And in Undone, you quote a Stanley Hauerwas statement about how the body of Christ, what we're doing is actually learning to suffer together. Mm.
A lovely passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it tells us what we should do as a church, as a body. It says these phrases, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I love those phrases. That's who God is, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. And it says, take the comfort that you have received from the Father of compassion and spread it abroad to people who don't have it yet. And that's what we in the body are supposed to do. I did several books with this Dr. Paul Brand that many Canadians have met along the way. And he says, a healthy body is not a body that doesn't feel any pain, but a healthy body is a body that attends to the pain of the weakest part. And that's what we should be doing as a local church, as a body of Christ, even globally, looking around the world at what's going on in Gaza and Ukraine and different places. Where is the suffering happening? And how can we, as the body of Christ, represent God, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort?
And that's such a powerful message and call to action, because there is no human being on this planet who is not touched by suffering at some point in their lives. I think we run from it like it's not going to happen, but the reality is it does. And even if it's someone we love suffering, right, that's still impacting us. You know, when you look back on your life, Philip, from a young age, you understood what suffering was. You lost your father to polio just when you were, I think, 1 year old. Correct?
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. And you may have noticed in the news just recently, the oldest person who lived in an iron lung just died. I think he was 78 years old. And here, for all of his life, he had been living inside this metal tube. Well, my father was in one of those metal tubes. And I was thinking, what would my father's life have been like if he had just stayed in that tube? But people thought he would be healed. We need to be very careful in how we pray and what we think about pain and suffering, because people who loved him thought he would be healed, so they removed him from the iron lung. And actually, he died because of that. And I lived under that shadow. These were people who loved him, who wanted the best for him. But they took a prerogative that they really didn't have. Instead of trusting God, they decided what God would do for them and acted in a way that turned out not to be helpful at all.
Yes, and Philip, I can't help but think that that has impacted and shaped a lot of your writings, not just with Undone, but previous books you've written, where you're exploring questions like, why do bad things happen and where is God when it hurts, and themes of suffering. What would you say to our viewer right now who is in a season of suffering and they're saying, where is God right now when it's hurting so bad? Where is he?
Well, I've learned that God is always on the side of the one who is suffering. And when a bad thing happens, often it's easy just instinctively to think, well, God's punishing me. And if you go through, especially the New Testament, just follow Jesus around. Never does he say, oh, you deserved it, or you just have to put up with it. He always responded with comfort and with healing. So God is always on the side of the sufferer. He doesn't He doesn't want us to suffer. He wants there to be healing, but we live on a planet that is broken. And part of God's answer to suffering is to have the body of Christ act as Jesus did when he was on earth, to bring that compassion, to bring that healing to people who don't have it.
Indeed. And, you know, as I read Undone, I recognized that, you know, for both John Donne and for you, a big place where our suffering becomes dealt with and at least maybe tolerable is when we look at the cross of Christ and we see how he suffered. Tell us more about that.
Right. Yeah. It would be one thing if God, very distant and remotely, said, well, those people down there, this is just something they have to put up with. But that God, the infinite God who created the universe, deliberately chose to come to earth to be one of those people. And the book of Hebrews says things like, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We don't have a high priest who doesn't know what it's like down here. He's one who has compassion because he's been here. He knows what it's like. And not only did he come to earth and have the kind of the normal human suffering that we do, but he went through this brutal death for us, to let us know God is on the side of the one who suffers, and he's going to take the worst thing that could happen, the execution of God's own son, and turn it into the best thing, the salvation of the world, and then show us through the resurrection that hope that we have for the future. That's the Christian gospel in a nutshell, to take the worst thing that could happen and turn it into the best thing. We call it Good Friday. Not Bad Friday, Tragic Friday, because of what God can do. God can take junk and recycle it into beauty.
He certainly can. And you're right. You know, the Bible speaks of that so clearly. We know Romans 8:28. We can say the Bible verses where God promises to work all things together for our good. You know, the Bible also says that suffering produces character. And we know that Christ, you know, is with us in our suffering because of the life he lived. When we think about suffering producing character, I think about John Donne because there was a plot twist to his story. He didn't have the bubonic plague. And in fact, his faith changed and his character changed as he came out of this illness. And for our viewers watching right now, can you tell us a bit about that plot twist and the evolution of John Donne's faith?
I certainly can. Many of your viewers have heard the phrase, like, for whom the bell tolls. And in those days, if a person was on the verge of death, they would ring a bell. And if a person actually died, they would ring a different bell. And then there was a funeral bell when the funeral was going on. So here, John Donne was living within sound of St. Paul's Cathedral, where he was the dean. And every day there were people dying and the bells were ringing constantly. And he heard the bell one day and said, well, I wonder if that's for me. I wonder if it's the bell announcing that I'm about to die and the doctors haven't really told me about that yet. And so he starts being a little paranoid about that. And then it becomes a switch because he realizes, here I've been just sitting here feeling sorry for myself and not really helping anybody. And actually, it could be my neighbor. It could be someone in need. I could at least start praying for them. And he said, don't ask for who the bell tolls. The bell tolls for you. And it changes his outlook from being so self-absorbed, which is easy to be when you're going through difficult suffering times. And instead turned out, how can I be a minister? How can I be a relayer of God's comfort, somebody who spreads abroad God's comfort to others? And that leads to the passage about no man is an island, no person is an island. And we are part of a body, and no matter who the person is, every time somebody dies, every time somebody gets sick, the world is the less. We lose something, and we are the body of Christ. And he goes into the beautiful description that Paul came up with and used about 30 times in the New Testament. We're all a body, different cells united together. And what that means is when people want to know what God is like, they should be able to look at the church and see what God is like. Are we acting like Jesus, especially around people who are going through hard times?
That's so good, Philip, and such an important charge for all of us as followers of Jesus. If you want to know what God's like, you should be able to look at the church and see him in action. And, you know, Philip, John Donne ended up living many years past his illness, where he thought he was dying of the bubonic plague. He actually had something else. And then he went on to recover and begin to preach the gospel even more through his work at St. Paul's Cathedral. And his view of death had changed in the process of that.
Yes, and we moderns aren't very comfortable around death. There are a lot of people who've never seen a person die. Well, in John Donne's day, that didn't happen. Everybody saw somebody die. A third of London had just died. And he invited people in. He was preparing for his death, and he invited his family in, gave kind of an Old Testament blessing to his children, and his friends were surrounding him in his bed as he was preparing for death. They even came up with a death mask, which you can still see in St. Paul's Cathedral now. So he was ready. He had been through the fires, he had emerged on the other side, and he was ready. That fear was gone. His body was old and frail, and he was ready to let go and trust whatever was next to the God he had come to know and love.
And such a big part of that trust was what God has in store for us in heaven. In eternity, united with God is so much more profound than what our experience on earth is. And you touch on that throughout this devotional so many times.
Yes. When he was stuck, he would just rely on trust in his Savior, Jesus, and what he had seen in Jesus on earth. And then his trust that Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And it's a better place. And it's a good thing that I'm going away. And Jesus showed us he came back and was still recognizable in some ways. But in some ways, people didn't recognize him right away. And he offered to eat. He offered to show his scars. I think that's very important. We kind of overlook that, Laura, but Jesus could have had a perfect body, but he didn't do that. When he was resurrected, he had those scars in his hands and in his feet and in his side, and he would invite people to, if you don't believe me, touch the scars. I'm Jesus. I'm the one you saw on the cross, and this could happen to you one day as well. You could have that resurrection healing like I have.
So profound, Philip. And, you know, there's no human on earth that doesn't go through this journey unscathed and unscarred in some way, to see our Christ with scars and to know his promise that there is resurrection power within our lives and in our future changes everything. Philip, we're so thankful for your time with us today, and we will be praying for you on your health journey. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure, truly. And thank you for spreading abroad God's comfort to your listening audience.
Our pleasure.
Wow, what a conversation with Philip. I am just beyond inspired and encouraged, and to see his boldness in the face of his own suffering and what he's going through with Parkinson's, as well as suffering he's had throughout his life, even losing his father when he was 1 year old. So many different challenges. And, you know, Philip really pointed to the fact that we can trust that God will work all things together for our good. You know, there's a Bible verse, Romans 8:28, and it became a life verse for me during that season that I talked about at the top of our podcast here, when I was really sick and ill and needed surgeries. And that Bible verse is, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That Bible verse changed my life, and it helped me look at seasons of suffering in my life and suffering that I was going to endure further because I knew I had to have more surgeries, that God would weave it all together and he would use it for his glory. And all I had to do was be that person who kept loving him. And indeed, God has used it for his glory. It has helped me to share Jesus with people, like that experience. It helps me to empathize with what people are going through, and it helps me to point them to the hope that is only in Jesus, no matter what we're facing. And that promise, that Bible verse is real for you too today. Romans 8:28 can be yours. God will work all things together for your good as you trust him and as you love him, because you are called to serve him. You are called with a purpose. Your life is called to be a testimony and witness. It may not look like the life you anticipated for yourself or you planned for yourself. And often, if you live life long enough, as I said earlier today, you will not come out unscathed. Things happen to us, but we know that that God can work it all together, and he has a purpose and plan, and he can bring hope and purpose out of whatever we're going through. Something else Philip Yancey talked about was the power of community. He talked about his wife and how she's walking him through this season, and as well as the importance of having each other. Like, that's the body of Christ. That's the church together. Body of Christ is like language we use from the Bible, you know, where we're talking about we're followers of Jesus, and we're living life together, and we're walking together. And when one is weak, the others go and lift them up. Or if one is sick, the others help them. And that is what we're meant to do with each other. And, you know, here at 100 Huntley Street and Crossroads, we have a resource for you, a connection, a community that can change your life. We have a prayer center. And on those prayer lines are incredible followers of Jesus who are committed to loving God and loving you and helping you see your purpose, that no matter what pain you're in, God can bring a purpose out of it. God can bring you the grace you need to get through it. And God can lead you on a path that you might not have anticipated for yourself, but that is full of the hope of Jesus. If you want to call our prayer partners, they're available right now, and they're also available tonight because they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You would call 1-866-273-4444. Again, the number is 1-866-273-4444. You can also email prayer@crossroads.ca. You can email what you need prayer for if you don't want to speak with anyone on the phone. And, you know, it's so important to line yourself up with people who know Jesus, who will support you, who will share biblical truth with you, like I've tried to do throughout this podcast, like Philip Yancey did, so that you have something to stand on in the challenging seasons of your life, that you have hope in your heart, and you know the future can be better than the moment you're in, better than the past, and better than you could even anticipate, even if it doesn't look like what you expected it to be. And in this moment, you know, I've told you, you know, call our prayer partners, and please do. I was a prayer partner here 20 years ago, right around that time I was talking about when I came to faith and I was going to Bible college. But I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray together. If you're in a season of suffering or challenge, I want to pray that God will meet you in these moments. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my dear brother or sister listening to this podcast. God, I know that they are listening for such a time as this, that they are appointed in this moment to be hearing these words, because God, your message is to them that they are not alone, that they are loved, that Jesus is with them. And God, we ask that you would pour out your grace over them. God, wherever they find themselves, in their room, God, in their workplace, Father, their car, doing laundry, God, even in a prison cell, God, we ask that your grace would be poured out over them. Father, we thank you for your supernatural peace. God, if they're in a season of suffering physically, we ask for healing. If they are in a season of suffering emotionally or spiritually, God, we ask for your healing and your grace to be over them. And God, we ask also that your Holy Spirit would comfort them in every moment. You are the God of all comfort, and you comfort us beyond what we can imagine. And Father, we ask that they would know Jesus in a new way, that they would commit their hearts to follow him. God, I thank you that you would bring people around my dear brothers and sisters who are listening. Oh Lord, that you would bring people around to love them and care for them and encourage them. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, if you want more prayer, please call our prayer lines. I'm going to tell you that number again, 1-866-273-4444. And in the meantime, I want to say God bless you and God loves you, and we'll speak to you again soon. Have a good day.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.